This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 1:42, 18 minutes before 2 o'clock. At 2 o'clock today, Jungle Jim Hunter and his show coming up. Very special one. You want to stay tuned for it. Lots of very good information. You know what? 2 hours of worthwhile radio coming up starting at 2 o'clock today. We have some Tom Rennie actuality, some stuff that he has posted that's been posted at the Oilers site, and we'll pass that along in just a couple of minutes. But I wanted to talk about the trade deadline and the Edmonton Oilers because it's funny how life works. Pierre LeBrun, I would say a week ago, maybe a little more than that, he said, you know what, Alex Hemsky is a guy who could be traded. And then since then, it's gone all around the internet and online and television, radio, everywhere. Hemsky is being shopped, or at least he's available. We had heard from the organization last where they were starting to talk to him a little bit about contract, and then that, I haven't heard a thing about that maybe since Christmas time. So it's been a long time since the Oilers have said anything about Hemsky's contract. Alex Hemsky is a guy who definitely has value. We just talked a minute ago to Kent Wilson, and he said he wouldn't be surprised at all to see a first-round pick coming the Oilers' way. And the important thing to remember, if you're going to trade Alex Hemsky, which I don't think is a good idea, but, you know, I don't know, I'm not privy to the contract information and what he wants, but at some level, Alex Hemsky is a guy that you want an asset for. And a first-round pick has value. I don't care what year it is. A first-round pick in the National Hockey League has value. So my belief is that the trade deadline, the big deal may not be for a defenseman. It might be for a first-round pick who ends up being added to a defenseman or added to something else to get a defenseman. I think Hemsky will bring a first-round pick. My thought is Detroit. I think the Detroit Red Wings are a team that would be more than willing to give that up. This is an organization that, you know, you've got Nick Lidstrom, who's a little long in the tooth. You've got guys like Bertuzzi. You know, Zetterberg's been around a while. Dan Cleary. The guys that are coming up like Abdelkader and Helm may or may not be the same type of player, and they could end up getting a Ryan Suter, but that's not a sure thing. So if you're Ken Holland and the organization, you may feel like this is your chance to get a guy like Alex Hemsky, sign him. It's not like he's an aged player. He's a 2001 draft, and so, you know, he's got some good years left, and maybe bring in a guy who's supremely talented and would be able to adjust to the Detroit Red Wing style of hockey easily because he's all pass. And I think a first-round pick is probably a good line in the sand. That's about a 28 or 29, possibly 30 if Detroit wins the Stanley Cup. I think that's a good value to put on Hemsky. Again, my preference would be they sign him to a 1 or 2 year deal at $4.5 or $5 million per and see if he can be a part of this future. But every indication we've gotten, and it goes from Maddie to everywhere, everything I've seen is the guy's on the block and on his way out. And so as much as we regret seeing Alex Hemsky no longer a part of Edmonton, and honestly, I swear to you, he's going to come back here and kill us. Every time he's in town, you think Jason Chimera does damage. You wait to see what Alex Hemsky can do to this organization when he comes back to the city. But without an indication that the Oilers are ready to sign him, we're getting closer and closer now. February 27th is just around the corner. And usually, although Steve Tambellini, I will give him credit, he's a guy who does not spill the beans. There have been fewer leaks on the Tambellini watch than you know there was in a about two-day period under previous administrations. So obviously, he definitely keeps things close to his vest as far as rumors are concerned. But I think Hemsky's gone, and I think a first-round pick is a good value to put on him. The other player that I think that is likely to go is Andy Sutton. And although there have been talks about contracts for Andy Sutton, and that could happen too, you know, those veteran defensemen at the deadline, they have such tremendous value. And the reason is they're great insurance. Remember when the Oilers went through their Stanley Cup run? It's such a marathon. You're playing to June and beyond, and you've got, you know, you've got your Prongers, and you've got your Steoses, and you've got your Jason Smiths, but they also brought in Spacek and Tarnstrom, and they had Marc-Andre Bergeron and Matt Green. And it still really wasn't enough because they were, you know, pulling Marc-Andre Bergeron out of the lineup and putting in Matt Green, who perhaps wasn't ready, you know, for that Stanley Cup final, but they were doing that out of necessity. So when teams add an Andy Sutton, what they're looking for is insurance. He might not even play that much. The classic example of that is Don Orie, who Montreal picked up maybe 75 deadline. I don't think he played at all during the playoffs. Might be getting my years mixed up, but you get the idea. The other player that I think might end up moving, and this is off the wall a little bit, but hear me out, is someone like Nikolai Habibulin. He's having such a great year, and I know that he has an extra year in his contract, but as Kent mentioned not long ago, Steve Staios had an extra year in his contract too. Nikolai Habibulin, a game like the other night, is like an advertisement to the rest of the National Hockey League that you can pick up a guy and make a run, even if your team is somewhat mediocre in goal right now. And that team may not be obvious right now, but we've got another few weeks here before the deadline. Injuries can crop up. Not every team is absolutely solid 100% in terms of their backup goaltender, and I think Detroit is another example there. And an extra year at that amount, maybe it's something that's doable. So I think Habibulin is a guy that should be considered possible as far as trades are concerned. After that, I don't know that the Oilers would trade a Ryan Jones. I've heard Ryan Smith mentioned as a possibility. I don't really get that either. He came back here, I thought, you know, to end his career here, signed a contract that's, you know, player and franchise friendly, and, you know, sending him out again, I unless the player asks for it, I don't really see the point there. And if the Oilers are going to make a bigger trade, like the Ryan Suter deal we're talking about, then a lot of players get into the mix. Not just Alex Hemsky, but maybe Sam Gagne, Jeff Petrie, those kinds of guys. But that's a team franchise altering kind of trade, and most of those go down in the summertime. So as interesting as that rumor was from Marty McSorley, I would suggest that it's somewhat unlikely. But those are the three players that I would look to. Alex Hemsky to Detroit for a first round pick, Sutton somewhere for a depth 3-4, something like that as a possibility, and then Nikolai Habibulin to a team that thought their goaltending was solid and maybe is not totally convinced, and the price wouldn't be high, except that they're adding an extra year and it would probably cost them a draft pick, and the Oilers at that point would definitely have to go out and get a goaltender, and I nominate a guy named Ben Bishop who's playing in the St. Louis Blues organization. So, now, with all that said, the Oilers playing tonight, Hockey Night in Canada against the Calgary Flames. Always an interesting game, for better or worse, and Scott Oak is part of the post game, and that's always worthwhile. And we begin the actualities that we got from the Edmonton Oilers about tonight's game with Taylor Hall and his comments.
Yeah, I'm going to play tonight. I feel fine to play, and it's good to get a couple games off just to kind of let the stitches heal and everything heal in there, and I feel fine to play. The docs think it's good enough to play.
You know, and that injury, somebody asked me if I'd ever seen like the live play of a worse injury, and the answer is no. It's because it's Taylor Hall and he represents so much a part of the future. He's the franchise along with the Nuge and Eberle, but the Borier Salming, I saw the cut and I saw the stitches, and you've seen, you know, the results of injury before, but to see that and then go from, oh, you know what, he'll be fine because it's Taylor Hall and he's Gumby, to seeing that photograph, and if you're queasy, do not pursue the photograph, but it's all over the place, and that was a really, really messy injury. And as Terry Jones said it so succinctly, he's very lucky and very unlucky at the same time, but we're delighted that he's back. Now, 150, and here are coach's comments, Tom Rennie's comments about tonight's game.
Tom, number four is back in. What does that do for his morale, your morale, and the team's?
Well, I think it helps a lot, obviously. He's he's such a passionate player, and you know, he's notable, so noticeable in lots of ways. I think what he does is whatever line he's on, he makes three players very effective. And, when he's not there, I'm not sure that's the case.
He said that if I didn't play tonight, I feel like I wouldn't be doing my teammates justice. You look at the face and you look at the head and you think people would understand, but he kind of thinks that way.
Yeah, he really tried to get in the game in Columbus, actually. He got on the bike and spun it like crazy, and of course it's leaking, and he wants to play. He just wants to play hockey. He wants to help. He feels responsible, as we all do, for where we are, and wants to do something about it. So you have to admire that and look forward to it in the future.
Is there any concern that you're worried about something? I don't know what it would be.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I guess yes and no. A, it's Halsey. So I'm concerned with how he plays. But, you know, because of there's no concussion, there's no residual stuff other than a gash, you know, that's fine. The big thing was making sure that it healed enough so that if there was impact, it would stay together. And I don't think that's an issue.
Any concern about his vision, Tom?
I was a couple days ago, yeah. Yeah, because it did leak into the eye there a little bit. But he's got real good peripheral. That's the most important thing. And playing on the left side, at least, he can't look at all the pretty girls on the other side of the glass, at least, so he can concentrate on hockey. But I did, actually, and it's a fair question because I was concerned about that. But he's got real good vision without having to move his head, so that's a good thing.
You've had Calgary three times this year. You've had Taylor in none of those games, particularly in a game like this. Mm-hmm. I guess probably all of them. But yeah. Against Calgary, what does he bring that you haven't had against them?
Well, he, you know, what he does, and I know we want to play the game for 2.5 hours of real good hard work and get it done properly, and I think Halsey always plays the game flat out. And what we need to do is play the game flat out and be smart about it. And, you know, I think what we need is to feed off of Taylor's, you know, desire to play every shift like it's his last one. And so we'll start with that.
Tom, you got a lot of players struggling offensively. I know it's tough to score goals, but as a coach, is there anything that you can do to help that along, to provide some offense, whether it's system-wise or anything like that?
A little bit of system stuff, and pay attention, you know, to how goals are scored nowadays, Mike, in the NHL, and have been for the last 4 or 5 years. It's just so much about the blue paint and that second and third effort and getting in on that and knowing that, you know, scoring goals hurts. You know, so having him understand that, no question. And the effort that goes into it, of course. A little bit of systematic stuff, and also clips. Just, you know, looking at clips and how goals are getting scored and you know, how others, depending on who the individual is, you know, them scoring and doing it the way, you know, you'd like to see, and others of similar stature or status or whatever, you know, scoring goals and, you know, giving anything we possibly can to feel confident that you can go score. And I think that's as big an issue as everything.
Neither of these teams have scored many goals in recent games. Do you expect a 1-0 game?
I don't know what to expect. I think that Calgary's you know, is playing well. You know, I think the additions they've made help their speed as a team. I think they're really balanced. You know, I'd like to think we are when we're healthy. You know, and when we pay attention to it, we are a good two-way team. You know, we can defend, you know, as well as anybody. We just have to make sure we pay attention to it, because I think it'll be a matter of discipline tonight, and even composure to a point, and not so much what you take but what you leave. And I think both teams can capitalize on that if given the opportunity. So, you know, it might take a while to get a winner tonight.
Taylor's playing significant minutes when he was hurt. Do you have to back in with him a little bit to see how it all goes, or do you use him like you're using him?
I'll put him out early, you know, as on a regular basis, and just get some feedback from him, and obviously evaluate his game in general and see how it goes. You know, when a guy goes into play, for me, he's ready to play. And, you know, you don't want to have to back into anything. But, you know, under these circumstances, you have to give him an opportunity to, you know, give you an idea how he's feeling, you know, what he's seeing, you know, those types of things, and make a decision from there.
You're probably not, generally speaking, too concerned what anybody else is doing in the league. But when you start to try to motivate for games, do you take something from the standings and say, I was 2 points back, but it really screwed what we've been playing?
Well, you know what? Never looked at it that way this morning when we spoke about this contest tonight, but we certainly talked about this game and this game only, quite honestly, and where we are relative to what's happening. Don't do that very often. You don't need to, quite honestly. They can read the paper and see the board, and you know, so there's different mechanisms in place to help motivate them, but there's nothing like the necessity to win, and right now it's necessary. It's that simple.
With Hall and Everly now on the same power play, I mean, that obviously, when we talk about these low-scoring games, that has to be a big factor, does it not?
Yeah, as long as, you know, Calgary pressures hard. Their penalty kill's been good, and you know, we have to move the puck past that pressure, you know, quickly, and they're two guys that are capable of that. Beyond that, it's the end point, and that's the net. And we've got to make sure that it gets there, too, with lots of traffic and more help than those two, you know, to push it across the line.
Interesting stuff from Coach Rennie on game day, and look forward to Taylor Hall's return, and Jordan Eberle should have better foot speed, and who knows, Calgary's banged up. Hey, it's hockey night in Canada. It'll be a great game. My thanks to Kirk Ludicky, Corey Pronman from Hockey Prospectus, Ryan Lambert, Corey Graham, and Kent Wilson. This has been Nation Radio. We'll see you next Saturday, high noon, on Team 1260.